Enjoyed that very much. Especially enjoyed hearing Brother Wiggins sing through the monitors up here. His is the only voice coming out of it. I got a special solo from Brother Wiggins. I appreciate that. Some of y'all getting that, some of you not. But anyway, let's sing another song. Let's sing a chorus. How about that? I don't know where it's. I think it's in the songbook somewhere. Let's sing "I'm So Happy" and "Here's the Reason Why." Some of y'all need this morning. Jesus took my burdens all the way. And most of you will know it. If not, you can follow along. Ready? I'm so happy, and here's the reason why. Jesus took my burdens all away. Now I'm singing as the days go by. Jesus took my burdens all away. Once my heart was heavy with the load of sin. Jesus took the load and gave me wonderful peace within my heart. And now I'm singing as the days go by. Jesus took my burdens all away. Aren't you glad He took His burdens all away? Amen. Your burdens all away. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And we're continuing our series of messages on promises in the Bible and standing firm on those promises. I'm glad I can depend upon the promises of God. And I'm glad that I know that God always keeps His Word every time, always keeps His promises. And this morning, as we think about the prospect of a new year, we think about the promise of a new year. And I'm thankful, I'm looking forward to another year if the Lord allows. And so we know the Bible says that no man knows what tomorrow may bring forth. But certainly He uses illustrations of the Bible that we should prepare and talks about, you know, remember the ant and how he prepares and stores up, and that we as human beings should prepare ourselves for another year, the prospect, the promise of another year, and so looking forward to that. Ecclesiastes is Solomon speaking, or Solomon writing down towards the end of his life about life. Ecclesiastes, the term Ecclesiastes means philosopher or preacher. And it uses that word preacher several times in the book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon was the third king of Israel. So the first king of Israel was Saul, and he reigned 40 years. And then we had David, and David reigned for 40 years. And then Solomon reigned for 40 years. And Solomon reigned in a time of great splendor of Israel. Israel was at its zenith, it was at its very peak. David had laid such a wonderful foundation for Solomon, and what a great 40 years that Israel experienced. And towards the end of Solomon's reign, there were some issues, but mostly because of Solomon and his life issues. And we're going to go over some of those today. And we think about Ecclesiastes. Again, Solomon, at the end of his life, contemplating life. And basically saying life, and telling us what life is when life without God's purpose is being realized. In other words, life without God's purpose, life without God and without His purpose is vanity. I'm going to repeat that here in a minute after we read. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure. It goes on down there, but let's skip on down to verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. So Solomon, at the end of his life, said, all right, let me summarize life to you. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this time we have, and we pray, God, that You'd bless. We pray that we would again see the importance of life with purpose, and we ask this in Your name. Amen. Solomon gives us a summary of life without a heavenly purpose. Life, what is life like without a heavenly purpose? And then he tells us, Ecclesiastes chapter 1, and I'm going to read it in verse 2, says, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. That word vanity means empty. And 37 times in the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon uses this term vanity. Life is vain. Life is empty. Can I tell you this morning that life without God's purpose is vain? Life without a heavenly purpose is empty. And our society today is living it more and more. Solomon had all the wisdom you'd ever want. Solomon had wealth beyond compare. In fact, Solomon talks about bringing in all sorts of monkeys and peacocks and animals. Solomon had anything his heart desired, lions and all sorts of these animals. Anything his heart could desire as far as food is concerned, he had it. Had it at his fingertips, anything he wanted. He had wealth, he had wisdom, he had women, and we could go into all the things that complicated his life. But he had power. He had power. In fact, his kingdom or his kingship, the nation of Israel was such at a zenith that people and other queens and kings came from far countries just to see Solomon and his kingdom in all of its splendor and all of its glory. He was known worldwide, and well, we could go into some sermons there. We won't try to get sidetracked there, but Solomon had everything. He says so. Solomon experienced everything. Everything that this world has to offer, Solomon had it, experienced it. And at the end of his life, towards the end of his life, he said, all of those things are empty. All of those things, the wealth, the wisdom, the power, the prestige, the women, all those things are vanity, empty. Life without a heavenly purpose is empty. Life without God's purpose is empty. We see this today, and we think about that nothing this world has to offer can satisfy one's heart. Nothing this world has to offer can satisfy your heart and in my heart. The world has seemingly a lot to offer. Think about Christmas for a minute. I looked forward to Christmas. I'm kind of glad it's over now. No, I am. Glad it's over. We look forward to Christmas. All the gifts, family, all the things that go on. And tomorrow, and many of you have already gone back to work, and now it's time to pay the credit card debt that you put all the Christmas presents on that you shouldn't have done. Everybody goes back to work, and life goes on. Life goes on. And if that life is without purpose, it's empty and vain. Empty and vain. We see it every day, people who live lives and are living their life empty and vain. Without a right relationship with God, life is vanity. New year. New year. New prospect. A new year. New day. A clean sheet. I love clean sheets, don't you? You remember as kids growing up, I mean, mom, dad put whatever sheet on the bed, you know, whatever it was, and made out of whatever it was, I don't know. And then as an adult, when you first got married, I mean, it's the cheap sheets, it's everything. But boy, don't you like the sheets now? It's become very popular. Egyptian cotton, I don't know what ours are, but they're very, very soft. I have delicate skin. And, boy, I could go into some things, but all right, we won't go into those things. But at some point, the wife's side of the bed smells good, the guy's side doesn't. Why is that? See, I shouldn't have gone there, but I did. I'll say to my wife, these sheets need to be washed. No. But after she changes the sheets, man, it's awesome. It feels so good. And a silly illustration, I'm looking forward to the new year. I'm looking forward to a clean slate. I always do, every year. There's not a year go by that I don't sit down and set some goals. I haven't always, in the last few years, written them down, but I have those continuing goals, those continuing priorities that I set in my life for the new year. Can I just encourage you, don't give up on that. You should always sit down, you should always take some time, take a few minutes, take some prayer time, and just consider the new year and the prospects of a new year. But to remember that life has purpose. That life has purpose. That purpose is to put God to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. A new year. In other words, are you going to go through another year of vanity, or are you going to go through a life and a year of purpose? And it's up to you to decide that. And we should have purpose. As I think about those in life and society who are going into the prospective new year, just looking for a promotion or looking for a new home or looking for a nicer car or more and more and more and more and more. That's our society, right? But can I tell you, all that's vain. That's what Solomon's saying. All that stuff's just vain. All that stuff's empty. A house will not bring happiness. You know, a new car will not bring happiness, especially when the payments come, when the new wears off. Those things, the wealth, power, with all those things do not bring happiness, do not bring purpose. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye the kingdom of God." Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2 says, "Set your affections on things above." And can I just again encourage you and remind you as we go into the new year to set your affections on things above, to get God in His proper focus, to live life of purpose, to live life with a heavenly purpose. And then and only then does our lives have meaning. Do our lives have a meaning to live, a reason to live? We see here in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1, he says, "Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, or the clouds return after the rain." First off, I want to say this morning that we need to remember our Creator. Remember our Creator. As we think about the prospects of a new year, we need to remember our Creator. Remember Him all the days of your life. It says here, "Remember Him and thy Creator in the days of thy youth." And I do want to point out that youth, don't wait. Our young people here in the room, don't wait. Remember your Creator. Romans chapter 1 and verse 28 says, "Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge." Talking about those in society of that today, even as it talks about those who are immoral and those who have turned their back on God and those who are involved in immorality and sin. It says they did not like to retain the knowledge of God. We've talked about this the last few weeks, that in our society today, our society is doing everything they can to remove Christ out of everything. Why? To keep Him out of the picture. Why? Because they don't want to retain the knowledge of Him. Romans chapter 8, you can look it up later, verse 28. They don't want to retain the knowledge of Him. And the Bible says that God will give them up to a reprobate mind, an immoral mind. Boy, don't we see that today? Our society has kicked Christ out of everything. And we repeat this a lot, schools and the government, society, secular humanism has just run rampant. Why? Why is that? Because they don't want to be accountable to a Creator. They don't want to remember the Creator. And can I remind us as Christians, we need to remember our Creator. We need to remember Him. The PC crowd. Everybody understands what PC means now, don't they? The politically correct crowd. They accommodate the 2%, the 4%, the 8%, the 10%, and set us Christians to the side. It's amazing what happens. But can I tell you that life without Christ is meaningless. And if we are going to go forward in the new year, we need to remember our Creator. Remember our Creator to retain the knowledge of God. How are we to do that? We remember Him early in life. And I hope, I'm so proud, and we even mentioned this in the deacons meeting this morning. I lived a sheltered life growing up, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that I was raised in a home, a Christian home. I was raised in not just a labeled Christian home. I was raised in a godly home where mom and dad were godly, and where dad sat around and read us the Bible, and where I never heard my dad cuss. Still have it to this day. Never heard my dad cuss one time. I lived in a home like that. In the days of my youth, I remembered God because my dad and my mom put that in front of us all the time. Can I remind us as parents, we need to remind our children to remember the Lord. That their goal in life is to glorify God. That their purpose in life is to glorify God. By the way, adults, that's our purpose. It's to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember Him early in life. Remember Him each day. Psalm 63 says, "Early will I seek thee. My soul longeth for thee as water in a dry and thirsty land," David said. Listen, we need to remember Him each and every day. Read your Bible, pray every day. Pray every day, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. And if you don't, you won't. Amen. Read your Bible, pray every day. Remember your Creator every day. Go to Him every day. Pray. Have your family devotions. And from time to time, I know you think I'm perfect, but from time to time, I get sidetracked in some of these areas. And I have to come back with my family, and I have to come back to myself and say, listen, you've got to be consistent in your Bible reading. I'm not saying that God will strike you down if you miss one day of Bible reading, but what I am saying is that God wants you to read your Bible every day. And though He loves us in spite of us, we should read our Bible on a consistent basis if we want to retain and have the Creator's knowledge. If we want to remember Him. If we want to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. Next Sunday night we'll have Vision Night and we'll present a new theme for our church, and I'm excited about that. But next Sunday night you'll receive a Bible reading schedule. A Bible reading schedule. I hope today, New Year starts on Wednesday, that if you have kind of left off reading your Bible, you'll get back to it. Remember your Creator. When? Every day. Every day. What's great about a new year, that on Wednesday, you haven't missed your Bible reading if you read it Wednesday for the whole year. Thursday, if you read it Thursday, you haven't missed your Bible reading the whole year. Amen? If you attend church next Sunday, you haven't missed a Sunday the whole year. We must remember our Lord every day. Start fresh. I love that. Now, I absolutely, and I preach to you guys that the Bible says that Christianity is a relationship, amen, and that relationship starts every day with the Lord. As a Christian, you can start over every day. But there is something special about a new year. It's just programmed into us. And there should be some things that we sit down and we resolve to do in the new year, to start off our new year right. Remember Him every day. Remember Him all your days. Verse 3, in the days when the keepers of the house shall tremble and the strong men shall bow themselves and the grinders cease because they are few and those that look out the windows be darkened. And here Solomon is being poetic. He's not speaking of these things literally. This is still in the same category is verse 1 and 2, talking about life, talking about, really here, talking about as we age. The word, the phrase, keepers of the house, speaks of the arms and the hands, that they shall begin to tremble. The bow themselves speaks of the legs and the thighs, as they begin to tire. As they begin to tire. The grinders speak of the teeth, as they become fewer and fewer. You know, we think about my grandmother, my grandma, on my dad's side, had false teeth since she was 21. Very early in life, they took somewhere thereabouts in that generation, the dentist just kind of, all right, you got a few bad teeth, let's pull them all, you know. And I remember my grandmother having, you know, cleaning her false teeth every evening, putting them in the little dish, you know. As the teeth get fewer and fewer, and bad teeth run in the Crawford family, I'm thankful that I received my mama's teeth. I received a few other things from her that I wish I hadn't got. But the teeth, that's a good thing. The grinders, the teeth shall go. Talks about the windows, speaks of the eyes. The windows, speaking of the eyes, it says there that the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out the windows shall be darkened as the eyes begin to lose their sharpness. And then it talks about the doors being shut, how the ears and the hearing goes. And it goes on just to talk about various things that happen as you get older. The doors shall be shut when the sound of the grinding is low, talking about the hearing, and shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Verse 5 goes on to say, look at verse 6, or ever the silver cord be loosed. This speaks of that silver cord being loose, speaks of the body and the spirit being separated at death. At death. It goes on to talk about the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher of the broken of the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Not only should we remember our Creator when we're young, we should remember Him every day, but we should remember Him all our days. All our days. Yes, we should serve Him. We should give Him our very best as when we're young. Amen, teenagers? Hello? Y'all awake? Young people, young adults here that are raising children, we should give Him our very best when we're young. But as age goes forward, as we begin to age and so forth, we should continue to serve Him. There's no time for quitting. Y'all awake? It's a tough morning. Just sing another song. Until the silver cord be cut, we need to serve Him. Until this body is separated from the soul of the Spirit, we should serve Him. That's what Solomon's saying. He said, remember the Creator. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. And teenagers, there's nothing greater that you can do than remember the Lord Jesus Christ and to serve Him while you're young and to live right and do right while you're young. And as we grow older, as the eyes dim and as the ears begin to fade and all those things happen to us as we grow older, we should continue to serve Him until we go back to the dust in which we came. And the body is separated. The spirit goes back to heaven in which it came. Serve Him. I enjoyed Brother Minnick's sermon last Sunday. 82 years old, still serving the Lord. I think about Brother Henderson, 93 years old, still serving the Lord. I've got example after example of men that I know personally who are just still giving it their all, whether they're 70, 80, whatever the age may be, still giving it 100% for the Lord. Listen, there is no time for quitting. There's no time for giving up. Serve the Lord while you can. Serve Him until the silver cord be loosed. Remember Him all your days. And then verses 8 through 12, we want to remember Him and your priorities. And I preached this sermon before on having our priorities straight. We usually mention this nearly every year. And the verse 13 and 14, we preached it many, many times. But verses 8 through 12 speak of those things that He says, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. All is vanity there in verse 8. The things of this world are vain. The things of this world are vanity, empty. In the new year, what do you want to accomplish? All this life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not corrupt, or thieves break through and steal. We need to be mindful as we go forward in the new year to serve Him every day, to remember Him every day, to remember that this life is empty. It goes on to talk about words and books and all these things. All these things are vain. Retaining and arriving at knowledge. It doesn't matter whether you have a PhD or not when you stand before God someday. Listen, we must be... I'm not against a PhD, by the way. I'm just saying it doesn't matter whether or not you live in a $500,000 home or a $10,000 home, if that's possible. Amen. All is vain. All is vanity. Solomon had it all. He reminds us of our priorities. Understanding, verse 13, understanding our duty. Our duty. Look there, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. So here he just puts it down where the rubber meets the road. He simplifies it for us. He summarizes it for us. All of life. All of life. What is our duty? By the way, he makes it where everyone can understand. And this is the duty for every believer. Put God in His proper place. Fear God and keep His commandments. Fear God and keep His commandments. A proper understanding to properly understand who God is and who I am. In other words, as I look to the Lord Jesus Christ, as I develop a relationship with Him, as I get closer to the Lord, as my focus is to remember my Creator and I think upon Him and read my Bible and pray and go to church and develop a personal walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, I will get a proper view of who He is. And as I get a proper view of who God is, I'll get a proper view of who I am. As I looked at Jesus and I continue to understand Him more and more and more, I'll understand more and more and more who I am. Fear God and keep His commandments. Listen, as we see God and we get a proper view of Him, as Isaiah did, as he saw Him high and lifted up and His train filled the temple, and he said, woe is me, a man of unclean lips, As we see God for who He is, just like Isaiah and just like Job, He said, I heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. And as we get a glimpse of who God really is, as Moses did there on that mount when God put him there in the cleft of the rock and Moses just got to see his hinder parts. Listen, Moses began to understand who God really is. And we understand who God really is. We will fear Him. We will fear Him. We will reverently fear Him. A respectful fear. I've used this illustration 1,000 times, but I reverently afraid of my dad growing up. I wasn't afraid of him like this. He never punched me He never punched me in anger. We wrestled a lot. We traded punches. In fact, at Christmas, we almost traded punches again, but I just didn't want to hit a 64-year-old. So I don't think that would be right. And Dad said, no, it would hurt too much. And I said, yeah, it would hurt too much. Just don't do that. But we used to trade punches and wrestle, and us kids still do. Grandpa watches now. But I've never been afraid of my dad. But I respectfully feared him growing up. I fear the Lord. And the more I get to know God, the more I will fear Him. Not afraid, but fear Him. The more I respect Him. As we think about that, we think about this morning I got up. If you catch me during the week, and some of you have, if I'm not at the office, usually at the office I'll try to wear khakis and a nice shirt. But if you catch me otherwise at Walmart, you may see me in some jeans and a t-shirt. I'm a jeans and t-shirt guy. I've always been. My New Balance tennis shoes. Okay? I don't take a lot of thought into matching colors. You know, the t-shirt I have on may not be the best looking one in the world. I get around my brother. My brother dresses immaculately all the time. At Christmas, we were there and we were going to make a trip down to CVS. And I, when he came out of the room, I mean, his hair was all combed just right. And he had the nice jeans on, a nice collared, you know, shirt. And he looked nice. Real nice casual shoes. I come out, had my Duck Dynasty hat on, my tennis shoes, my jeans that had a broken belt loop, and a t-shirt. I don't remember what the t-shirt was, but it was just an old t-shirt. I said, let's go, you know. But when I got up this morning, I had a choice. I could have chose to wear jeans and a t-shirt. And if that's your best, thank the Lord, I'm just glad you're here this morning. And certainly I'm not saying anything, but I'm saying I came this morning wearing my very best. Wearing my very best. We teach our children, and I'm glad for some of our youth who continue to catch on here and wearing their best. Out of respect to God and His house, amen? Amen. We don't have a dress code around here, but we certainly view and feel that we should come to the house of God respectful of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Fear the Lord. We teach our children to fear God. I don't think it hurts from time to time to remind our children that God's watching them. Oh, you might tell your little child, Daddy and Mama may not know it. Mama and Daddy may not see it, but God sees everything. Whether you're in the heights of heaven or the lowest parts of the earth, the Bible says God is everywhere. God sees everything. It's good to teach a child that. Helps their integrity. Helps them build character, what they are when nobody's looking. Amen? It's not just mom and daddy watching, but God's watching all the time. Again, this is Solomon. Solomon, who had everything his heart could desire, towards the end of his life, said all of that's vanity, and the summarization of life is to fear God and keep His commandments. To fear God and keep His commandments. As we think about that, we think about living a right life, void of wickedness. Psalm 112 says, blessed is the man that fears God. You know what blessed means? Happy. That almost sounds weird, doesn't it? Happy is the man that fears God. Psalm 112, you can look it up later, verse 1. Happy is the man that fears God. You want happiness? Put God in His proper place. You want to experience joy unspeakable and full of glory? You want a life of purpose and of joy and happiness? Put God in His proper place. Fear Him. Fear Him. Respect Him. You say, well, how do I do that? It's the Holy Spirit that allows us and encourages us and enables us to fear the Lord. As life goes forward, as our Christian life and as we grow in the Lord, it's the Holy Spirit that keeps us going the right direction. It's the Holy Spirit that smacks us when we do something wrong. It's the Holy Spirit that brings us under conviction. It's the Holy Spirit that brings us under the fear of God. By the way, if you stop your godly habits, if you stop reading your Bible, and you stop going to church faithfully, and you stop praying faithfully, don't blame it on the preacher when you leave the church. Don't blame it on the Sunday school teacher when life begins to go sideways and upside down and in all different directions. It's your lack of focus. A lack of fear of God. We need to have a respect, a fear of God, to focus on Him. Then it says on to say, and keep His commandments. To fear God and keep His commandments. 1 John 3:23 says, this is His commandment that we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is His commandment that we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, if we ought to fear God, we ought to see God as for who and what He is. And as we see Him for who and what He is, we see ourselves for who we are. And can I tell you that we are lost sinners. That we are undone. Amen? That we have no value in and of ourselves. My value is not found in and of myself, unlike the humanists, you know, despite the humanists is what they have to say. But my value is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a zero without the Lord. I'm so thankful today that I'm saved. I'm thankful there came a day in my life when I obeyed the commandment of God and I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the very first commandment you must keep. If to fear God and keep His commandment is life's summary, the first commandment you must keep is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto salvation, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you saved this morning? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you don't, you accept Him today. Boy, the Lord desires a relationship with you. He desires for you to experience a life of purpose, a life with heavenly purpose. But you must simply step out and trust in Him. You must ask for forgiveness of your sins, understanding you're a sinner in light of who God is. That you come short of who He is. Short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And as we see ourselves as sinners and we come to Him and repent of our sins, and come to Him and believe that Jesus lived, that Jesus died, that He rose again from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Do you see yourself this morning as sinner? Or have you fallen under the conviction of the Holy Spirit who brings about that conviction of your need for salvation? If you do this morning, have felt that conviction, trust in Him today. The first commandment to keep is the commandment of believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, secondly, that those who love Him will keep His commandments. And there are many in the Bible, and we won't go into those. There are many. Can I remind you that if you put God in His proper perspective and you'll fear Him and you'll keep His commandments, that your marriage will be better? That you'll treat your spouse, you'll treat your husband as you should? You'll treat your wife as you should? You'll treat your children as you should? You'll treat your co-workers as you should? Listen, you put God in proper perspective, you fear God and keep His commandments, and life will have meaning. Life will have purpose. Lastly, verse 14, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. We must remember our Creator. We must understand our duty and what we should do to fear God and keep His commandments. And lastly, we must understand that one day we will see Him. One day we will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and we'll give an account. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11 says, and I saw a great white throne and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which was in it. And death and hell were delivered up, the dead from where in them. and there were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. There is a judgment coming. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment. And all those who have not accepted Christ as Savior, all those who do not have a personal relationship with Jesus, will one day stand before God, and there they will be judged. And there, the Bible says, they'll be cast into hell. That's a reality, folks. A reality we don't like to think of. But understand, whether we like it or not, whether we accept it or not, it's going to happen. And we must understand, as Christians, that day is coming. It should make us the greatest soul winners in the world. It should make us want to go out and tell everybody about Jesus. There's a great white throne judgment coming. Can I remind you this morning, if you're here and you don't know Jesus as Savior, there is a judgment coming. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, a familiar verse, and verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. The Bible says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." There's a second judgment coming. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. And every Christian one day will stand before God and give an account of their works. I'm glad I won't give an account of my sins. My sins are under the blood. Under the blood of Jesus. I'm glad my sins are under the blood. Washed white as snow. My sins have been thrown as far as the east is from the west. Amen. But I will, as a Christian, I will, as a saved, born-again believer, one day give an account for my works, whether they be good or bad. And listen, one day we'll stand before Him and we'll give an account of how we served Him and why we served Him. Listen, in the Christian life, motivation is so important. And many times in my own life and in your life, our motives get out of whack. And we must understand that the rewards we'll receive in heaven are for our works, whether we brought glory to God or glory to ourselves. Whether we served Him or whether we didn't serve Him, we will stand before Him and give an account. As we look at the prospect of a new year, let us remember to remember our Creator. Remember Him. Remember Him every day. Remember Him as we age. Remember Him. We must remember our priorities. We must remember our priorities to keep our focus on Him. And then we must remember our duty to fear God and keep His commandments. And then we must remember that one day every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. One day, Christian, we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. This is serious stuff. But can I remind you, Solomon had everything his heart's desire. All the wealth. All the wisdom, all the flesh could desire, he had it. And when he came to the end of his life, listen, when he came to the end of his life, teenagers, when he came to the end of his life, all that stuff, he said, was vain, was empty. Except, and he summarized, that life with a godly purpose is to fear God and keep His commandments. And to remember, there's judgment coming. As a kid, I'm so thankful again for my upbringing, but as a kid, I was a little hyperactive, to say the least. Still am. Especially put 3 donuts in me like I had earlier today. And so, I was a handful. I got a whipping every day till I was 12. My dad says that, has reminded me of that many, many times. And I'm thankful for it. I'm glad He applied the Board of Education to the seat of understanding. But there were so many times that I would be at home and Dad wasn't there. Dad was at work. And I heard those illustrious words from my mother. Go to your room and wait till your daddy gets home. All the time. Go to your room, wait till your daddy gets home. Man, I'd go to my room. My room was probably, 12 by 12, and we had it was kind of popular back then that we didn't have carpet in our room. We had the vinyl flooring, And I remember waiting about 2 or 3 o'clock. My dad generally got home, and I'd hear the door slam on the truck. I knew what was coming. I knew what was coming. He'd walk into that house. I hear Mama talking to him. I know where he went. He went beside the refrigerator. There's a little potted plant that there was no plant inside. There was a belt there. And Dad took the belt out. And I could hear him walking down the hallway. Didn't knock on the door. His daddy, he didn't have to knock on nothing. Opened that door and come in. And I received justice. A recompense of reward for my wrongdoings. Judgment I knew was coming. And just the thought of that judgment brought about feelings in my own heart. Just the thought of judgment brought some feelings in my own heart. Let me tell you, it may not be the most pleasant thing to think about, but judgment is coming. And it is one of the motivations for us to do right. Can I remind you this morning? Remember your Creator. Put God in His proper focus. Put God in His proper place. If you'll put God in His proper place, obeying His commandments and fear Him will all come into action. By the way, if you fear Him properly, keeping His commandments is not an issue. It'll happen. And judgment is coming. Amen. Listen, new year, new clean sheets. Let's start fresh. Let's set our affections on things above. Let's remember our Creator. Let's read our Bibles and pray every day. Let's remember our Creator throughout the rest of our life. Amen. Let's all